Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from the 6th chapter of Galatians, the 14th verse. But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story, all the light of the gospel gathers round its head sublime, is centered in the cross. Paul gloried in Christ and him crucified. Today the world takes an unseemly glory in that cross. The Holy Cross is worn in the most unholy of circumstances, and it participates in the most unholy of activities. The rock star celebrated his birthday at his Bacchanalian feast. He received three gifts. One was an indecent photo. The second was a silver snuffbox for his cocaine. And the third was a silver cross. The cross is desecrated by the world. Could it be that it has lost its meaning and its power, and therefore that is in the Christian community, and therefore the world feels free to use it for its unholy purposes? The Apostle Paul gloried in the true meaning of Christ and him crucified. To the world of the ancient world, the cross was an abhorrent and an offense. The society of the ancient world would never think of wearing the cross as an ornament. It was a stumbling block to the Jew, and it was folly to the Greek. It was a stumbling block to the Jew because it was a Roman gallows. It symbolized the suppression of a Roman government. It was the similar form of execution, followed by decapitation and burning and being fed to the beast. It was the highest form of indignity and torture and execution. It was a stumbling block to the Jews because of their religious conscience. According to the law of Deuteronomy, God had said, "You shall not leave the body out on the tree to desecrate and defile the land." But this is exactly what the Romans did. They left the body to rot and decay upon the tree of the cross. It was folly likewise to the Greek. It was madness to the Greek mind to think that a son of God would become a man and partake of material flesh, which in its substance they believed was evil. It was folly to them to think that a son of God would humble himself and be humiliated and put upon a tree. In their tradition, even Julius Caesar was not assassinated in his body, but the goddess Vesta rescued him and took his body to the halls of Jupiter. And the daggers of the assassins only pierced his phantom. So it was folly and madness and a stumbling block to the people of Paul's day. But God in his wisdom chose the folly of the cross, making peace through the blood of the cross. The cross was an altar on which God made an all-atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Man had offended the righteous and holy God and brought upon himself the just condemnation of God as a reaction to man's sin, not originating in the heart of God, but as a reaction upon sinful mankind. We need an atoning sacrifice today because modern man also offends the holiness of God. Alexander Solzhenitsyn says that modern man has forgotten God. He has moved God out of his life, God is no longer relevant to him. Modern man no longer considers himself accountable to God. He is embarrassed even to talk about sinful human harm. He will talk about sin in society, in political systems, in economic systems. But he is embarrassed and too proud to speak of sin inherent in the human heart. He has spurned the warm hand of God and defiantly insists on walking alone in this world. But God, in his mercy, has reached out that warm hand in his Son Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, no longer counting our sins against us. He made his Son to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now we have a reconciliation established firmly in the mercy of Jesus Christ, sealed in the blood of the new covenant. It is an everlasting covenant that cannot be taken because it is founded and anchored in the bedrock of Calvary. July 2nd, 1872, each bridge here in St. Louis was tested, and the public was invited to behold the testing. The question was, would this new design hold up under the weight that would be put upon it by the traffic of that day? 14 locomotives were filled with coal and water. First, 7 were put on the tracks of the bridge, and they moved across the bridge, pausing at the high point of each span. The people held their breath. Would it hold? It said. Then 7 more locomotives were put on the track, and they went abreast across that bridge, pausing at each high point of the span. And again, would it hold? And it fell. Then all 14 locomotives were lined up at once on the full length of the bridge. Would it hold? And it fell. Thus it is that Christ has bridged the gap. And it holds, because it is finished. And it is established upon the blood of the new covenant. People come to their pastor and say, "Pastor, I believe God forgives me, but I cannot forgive myself." Then it is our high privilege as pastors to say to them, if God is satisfied and if he has met his justice, then you can be satisfied and your conscience also can be filled, and you can know that full atonement and payment has been made by the blood of Jesus Christ. All creation joins the people of God in saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and might and honor and glory and blessing." God forbid that we should glory in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By it the world is crucified to us and we to the world. It separates us from the spirit of this age. It separates us from the works of darkness and from the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God forbid that I should glory in anything save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul might have gloried in his circumcision, in his ancestry, in his rigorous religious observances, in his high learning and intelligence. No doubt he would have been known as one of the greatest rabbis of all times down to our present age. But he considered it all as refuge in order to know Jesus Christ, him crucified, raised, and glorified for the sins of the world. It was his one desire to preach the reconciliation, the redemption, the restoration, and the renewing power of the gospel. And I know, dear brethren, that it is but your heart's desire that you might preach that gospel to the saving of all people. When I survey the wondrous cross,
Can you see it? And with the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt in all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Amen.